Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Get $4.99 Steins and all draft beer every Monday to Friday from 11 till 7, and $5.99 Caesars every weekend from 11 till 4. Turn down for
what? Oh boy, do we have a lot to go through today. Welcome to a Rider Monday, everybody. Back in studio, originating from downtown Regina. Rod Peterson with you, with Luke Mulliner and Mike Abumeshwar. How you fellas doing?
Great. Rider Monday.
Yeah, I feel underdressed with you guys. I'm still in Florida mode.
Yeah, you got your Miami sweater on and everything. Huh?
Yeah. We got a lot of things to get to, as I mentioned. Right out of the shoot, in a couple of minutes' time, Sportsnet's Arash Madani will be joining us from Yankee Stadium, where the Blue Jays open up a midweek set. It was the best schedule for Arash. He wants to talk CFL with us. We've got the fines to get to today. We've got the 3downnation.com report that the Riders reached out to Michael Vick this offseason. Oh, boy. Yeah. Luke just rolled his eyes and almost fell off his chair. I'm calling it fake news. Justin Dunk bristled at that suggestion by me. We'll get into that. Did I mention the fines? There's that. There's Xavien Bingham. And this whole crazy scenario.
Yeah.
And there are those that are saying the media should have never been allowed into Rider minicamp
because
if they weren't there, the Ravens wouldn't have known about this star DB from Jackson
Who's
State.
Saying that?
Let's start there.
I don't want to say who's saying it.
The people saying we want more media coverage, yeah. But we don't want you to cover.
We want more coverage.
Not the good
but
players.
Not that. Guys, nobody watches media reports and listens to radio shows in a scouting thing and says, you know what? I just heard Rod Peterson say that this Xavien Bingham kid was a stud. Let's sign him.
I would say it's arrogant of us to suggest that's how it works.
That's not how it works.
But there's a lot that seem to think that that is exactly what happened with the Baltimore Ravens. Not my report, somebody's report.
We can do all the projecting and things that we want, whether it's through this radio station, whether it's through other things that we do as a team here. Scouting departments of the Baltimore Ravens, when they say go scout someone, they don't say, okay, first of all, we're gonna Google that team's media team because that's where we're gonna get the real stars.
But Luke, the Ravens didn't have anybody there. The timing of the invites fishy.
Listen, that kid right there who runs like a legit 4.2, 4.3, they all know about him. And when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, that's a team that historically has always had a good defense. Listen, folks, NFL teams don't say, here's your list, and keep anybody that's scouting to the SEC and the Big Ten from now on. Don't look at any D1 school, D1 AA. Don't look at D2. Don't look at D3. Only the SEC and big-name schools. It doesn't work like that.
I mean, the Ryder camp probably had a little more attention to it because of number 8. You know, maybe the Ravens weren't there, but someone was probably interested in that wouldn't normally be interested in the CFL minicamp, and whoever that person is. I mean, I'm smelling tampering all over this. You know,
there's
by whom?
There's the segue.
There's zero.
No, but I mean, and you know this. I mean, if a scout's scouting a practice that you're in, they don't have to be there to look at you.
No, absolutely.
But
man, these guys,
if you have a good day,
tapes, these guys. Right. I'll tell you what, man. Because if that's the case, Rider Nation, we're just gonna go into summer camp, and do shows about the fourth string guys and the guys are getting cut, and we're gonna say they're the greatest players we've ever seen. But yeah. Give them an NFL opportunity.
Well, we'll circle back on that. We're going to Yankee Stadium right now. Sportsnet's Arash Madani is there with the Blue Jays. Good afternoon, Arash. How are you, my friend?
All is well, boys. How we doing?
Hey, we're doing good. We're talking CFL, if you don't mind switching gears from your baseball hat. Michael Vick. Tell our listeners, because we just got on the air here, about the 3downnation.com report today.
Yeah, I mean, here's what's become interesting, fellas, is that in the aftermath of that Friday the 13th and Darian Durant being traded to Montreal, the question was who? Who will be the heir apparent? Who will be the replacement? Who will be the next franchise quarterback? And it's become quite clear that Chris Jones and his staff are looking anywhere and everywhere to find that guy. And, you know, we looked at Darian's age and we said, okay, well, that may play a factor. To reach out to Michael Vick to sign Vince Young, you know, that suggests to you that age really wasn't the impediment that Jones and this new Rider regime had when it came to Durant. Then if you take it a step further in the aftermath of the fine from Friday, if this regime was to reach out to Michael Vick and obviously sign Vince Young, then you have to believe where there's smoke, there's fire. There was more than just contact with Johnny Manziel's publicist. So these guys are looking at anything and everything, and they often do that with position players. But the fact they were trying to lure Mike Vick out of retirement, you know, to me, it was a real intriguing one.
It was intriguing, but if people are talking about it around here in the Rider Nation or Rash. But he said spent 2 years in prison for running an illegal dogfighting ring. But beyond that, what's your take on the story? I mean, does it make the Riders look bad in your opinion, I guess, is what I'm getting at?
No, not at all. But what it shows you is that they're looking anywhere and everywhere for talent. So that's the whole thing here, is that, you know, the Riders have taken a lot of heat for, you know, the things they've done, and often they're warranted. But, hey, Mike Vick was an impact player. Mike Vick was a former league MVP. Mike Vick came out of prison and was still an effective player when he went to the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike Vick was one of the most dynamic college football players, period. And that the Riders were trying to get to lure him, to me, says across the board, they're looking for any kind of talent that's going to be an upgrade. And if you're going to that extent to talk to a dude who's made a lot of money to try and talk him to come to the CFL, is to pay attention to the players they are signing in the U.S. because what's their pedigree? I spoke with someone who used to work with Chris Jones, and he said, listen, Chris is going to find you football players, and he's going to find you athletes. He's going to find you somebody who probably committed to Alabama or LSU or an SEC school, but then didn't academically qualify to get in. And Chris is going to go find him at some tryout camp and workout camp in a dirt pile in nowhere, Mississippi. But he's going to see that speed, he's going to see that athleticism, and he's going to sign him. And so when you get Mike Vick on the radar, to me that says, okay, they're willing to ask anyone and everyone to see if they're going to come up here and play football and try and help this team win. So that's what that says to me.
So Vince Young said, sure. Johnny Manziel said either no thanks or I can't. What did Vick say? Do we know what Michael Vick's reaction was to this overture?
I'm sure Mike Vick said, you know what, I'm just going to sit at home. Thank you, I'm done playing football. I lived out my football life. I did what I had to do. And, just last week, Roddy, we did our conversation from St. Louis, Missouri. Mark Burley was there. Mark Burley spent, you know, a dozen years in the big leagues, won a World Series with the White Sox. Last year, the Jays were on their way back to the ALCS. They needed a starting pitcher when they had an injury. John Gibbons called Mark Burley. Mark said, John, I'm sitting on my deck overlooking the water, a beer in one hand and a burger in the other. Thanks, but no thanks. So, hey, you got two guys sitting in there that know what the aches and pains and the stresses of football and being a pro athlete can be. When in your mind you're done with the game, when you stepped aside, you're done.
Yeah.
Hey, to hockey, you said there's a Regina connection to the Buffalo Sabres GM search?
Yeah, I've been told that Ross Mahoney, the assistant GM of the Washington Capitals, who's been with that organization in many capacities over the years, I'm told he is somebody that the Sabres... They've spoken with Mahoney and his people have spoken with the Sabres about the vacant general manager role there. Where that's headed, who knows? I mean, the Pegula family in the last 2 weeks has fired the GM and scouting staff of the Buffalo Bills and fired the GM and the head coach of the hockey team. But among the people who have been in the conversation for that vacant GM job is somebody from right there in Regina who's working in the Caps organization.
Wow. Good scoop there. And hey, Blue Jays at the Yankees tonight. What's your take on Canada's blue team?
Well, for the first time, as John Gibbons told us today, they have a win streak. They've won two in a row. They just won their first series. A team that actually plays better in May than any other month of the season. But at this stage of things, guys, they need something to go right for them. Aaron Sanchez comes back yesterday after having surgery on his finger. He lasts only an inning because there was a split in the fingernail. He was bleeding all over the place. He's going to need another 10 days. But I tell you, the Yankees have a phenom young kid. His name is Aaron Judge. and he is 6'7", 6'8", 280 pounds. I mean, he is a monster of a middle linebacker. And he was out hitting BP, and the sound that came off the bat was unbelievable. I was talking to Justin Smoke in the dugout. The Blue Jays first baseman just kind of froze, and his eyes became the size of baseballs. He looked at me and said, "You hear that?" And we kind of both looked over, and he said, "Now that boy can hit." And Smoke just abruptly left our conversation, walked up the steps, and knelt in front of the batting cage just to get a close-up view of what he was watching. So, you know, Judge just hit 10 home runs in the month of April. There's only one other Yankee who's done that in April under the age of 25, and his name was Mickey Mantle. Hmm. So they're pretty stoked about what they have here in this young kid.
So the Yankees are owning the tabloids these days, you're saying, as they open a new week tied for the division lead. But the Yankees are back.
They're on their way, and this was supposed to be the rebuilding year. And all kind of signs are pointing to the 2018 offseason, because that's when Manny Machado, and that's when Bryce Harper, and that's when a number of free agents are going to hit the market. Oh. So what the Yankees did is they went through some pain that the Blue Jays are going to end up having to at some point here. They're not rebuilding on the fly, knowing they're not going to make the playoffs for a couple of years. But, you know, Andrew Miller left and Aroldis Chapman left, although he came back. And they moved some pieces around to get some prospects. But now it's been fruitful early, but the real payoff's going to come in a couple of years, guys.
Hey, 5:10 our time, first pitch, 7:10 yours. Can our listeners tune you in tonight? Are you part of the broadcast?
Yeah, I will be on the broadcast with Dan Shulman, Buck Martinez. We actually have a number of stories to tell throughout the show. So we'll be on Sportsnet 1 tonight with all the puck going on elsewhere.
All right, Arash, thanks for finding some time for us, pal. We'll catch up with you later in the week.
All right, sounds good, boys.
All right, Sportsnet's Arash Madani chiming in from New York City on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. The new Kia Forte for only $49 a week on sale now, available at Wheaton Kia. Comes with a 5-year warranty and free oil changes for life. All football the rest of the way on this Rider Monday on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Rider Monday continues, a peek in the Boston Pizza afternoon rush. The Toronto Raptors know they'll have their hands full when they start an NBA Eastern Conference semifinal tonight against LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs beat Toronto in 6 in last year's East Final, took 3 of 4 in the regular season this year. Game 1 tonight from the Q. This is the Q, right?
Yes.
Also tonight, San Antonio hosts Houston in Game 1 of a Western Conference quarterfinal. The Washington Capitals have their work cut out for them entering Game 3 against the Penguins tonight. Just 18 of the previous 87 teams to drop the first 2 games of a series at home have gone on to win. And only 4 in NHL history have come back from a 3-0 deficit. Caps, Pens tonight. And the Pats are off to the WHL final for the first time since 1984. They knocked out Lethbridge last night. The captain of the 84 Pats was Bobby Lowe's. He'll be with us in Hour 3 to talk about that series 33 years ago. Plus, the Seattle Pats series, which opens on Friday. Bobby now working with the Vegas Golden Knights. That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Try the new signature pizza recipes like Canadian back bacon or chicken shawarma at Boston Pizza. For a limited time, Boston Pizza will make you a fan. So now we got through all of that. We got until the top of the hour and then another hour to discuss the Ryder fines, the Manziel thing. But let's just go to the Michael Vick thing for a second. I don't see how it's news. I texted Justin Dunk today and I said, "Do you mind if I call this fake news? Because I think it is." He didn't like that.
You are fake news.
He didn't like that suggestion.
Well, if Dunk wants to, I don't know. I'd give us something useful. If you're an insider, give us something that projects to June. Like, give us some news on a draft pick. Give us some news on, like, man, nobody cares. Honestly, people like to talk about it, obviously. But what news?
That's not news.
Yeah. What is giving? Oh, guess who?
It was a
guess who
day,
the writers tried to sign 3 months ago? Who cares?
Everybody. I hope everybody. They try to sign everybody.
Yeah. Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, do you not understand the business? Now, I know he's only a college quarterback. Never saw the business side of the Canadian Football League. But that's what you do. You try to sign the best guys that you think possible.
You paint with a roller, yeah. not a detail.
Like, I don't get
brush.
It. Like, if this guy's going to be the, like, man, Adam, come on, man. Can you imagine Adam Schefter getting on the thing and saying, hey, you know who the Patriots tried to sign 6 months ago? No.
Everybody.
You know why? Because Adam Schefter knows what he gets paid for is to actually give stuff that's useful to fans. That was useless. Mm. Aside from us talking about Michael Vick and more after, maybe that's what he was. He were actually talking about him a lot more than Michael Vick right now, because man, I
know. But in the listen from his perspective, from the 3downnation.com report, that the writers reached out to Michael Vick, it is news. It happened, so he doesn't agree with me that it's fake news. But I'm with you guys, and I was on the air in Lloydminster today. And they said, who cares? If this was the Argos, would anybody even be talking about it?
And that's
so.
The thing. You know, I would hope RG3. I would hope Joe Montana was also contacted. Like, they went out and they're doing. Chris Jones doesn't sit around doing nothing. His job, he's good at his job, and he's kind of behind eight ball with last season. So, I mean, he's doing his job. He's good at doing it, and he's uncovering. He found Vince Young. Shoot, man.
Well, that wasn't.
He found guys like Brian. Listen, I honestly think that Third Down Nation's business model is literally to get hits. And how do we get more hits on our website? It's to talk about the writers. So do us a favor, guys. If Chris Jones goes to a garage sale and barters for a dirt shovel, can you please report that? But don't do it right away. Wait 3 months, because then they'll talk about it. I get it. I understand you want hits to your website, but it's useless information. Absolutely useless.
I.e. fake news.
Yeah, i.e. irrelevant news.
Well, so...
Like, thanks, Justin.
People are writing into my website saying, why aren't you covering the Vic story? Why aren't you talking
about...
Because
it's not a story.
Why are you not giving your take on the fines? Well, for one, put yourself in my shoes for a second. What am I going to say? But furthermore, to the Manziel thing... And actually, we don't have enough time to get into it right now. We'll do it after the break, which is in a couple minutes' time. But so they were proven to have talked to him. I guess we could get into it now.
He talked to his publicist.
Like, Jones got raked over the coals for trading for or signing players last year at this time that retired a day after they acquired him. So you kind of got to talk to a guy.
Do your due diligence.
Ahead of time.
It sounds like they're dumping on him for doing his job.
It's kind of what he was doing.
No, they're dumping on him because he got fined, I think. Isn't that what it is?
I don't know what you're supposed to do. How are you supposed to find out whether a guy has interest? You're supposed to trade for his rights, trade a first-round draft pick, a second-round draft pick for the right to talk to.
To then talk to.
Then they say, no, we're not interested.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
you're losing draft picks to essentially have a conversation.
I don't know what the scenario is. I mean, anytime you get to those Negless players, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, RG3 and Johnny Manziel are on Hamilton's Negless.
And Kaepernick.
Well, I mean, that's what it was like when they drafted, they changed the draft rules because teams were just hoarding all the quality Canadians and whatnot and just not signing them. I mean, something's got to be up with that Negless. You can't just throw guys on there Well, I don't know.
Well, we'll talk about these topics.
Maybe if they signed them, they get
them. And should the media be allowed to attend CFL minicamps? There are now those who feel they shouldn't, because that's how Xavier and Bingham earned an invite to the Ravens camp.
How dumb can you be?
Well, I don't know. It's what I'm hearing.
We just talk about anything.
Hey, Coach Harbaugh.
Just stop. We'll talk about that next.
You are fake news.
We're brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales. They're at the corner of 8th Avenue and Winnipeg Street. 20 years of doing it right. Good deals from the good guys. This is the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Okay, we are back on a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales with Luke and Abu. Speaking of Grey Cup rings, a guy that has two has been named the offensive coordinator of the U of S Huskies, Marcus Crandall, being the offensive brains of the Scott Flory staff. Marcus was the MVP of the 0-1 Grey Cup with Calgary and a backup on the 0-7 Saskatchewan Roughriders. Congratulations to Sizzle. So, look, I'm waiting to hear from the Rider Nation because we haven't been on the air yet since the Riders got hit with a $30,000 roster fine on Friday, a subsequent $5,000 fine to Chris Jones for talking with Johnny Manziel's publicist. The Prairie Mobile text line is 551-CKRM, 551-2576. Or the Molson Coors Twitter feed at SportsCage. By the way, to celebrate your pill loyalty, cases of Pilsner are specially priced. Please drink responsibly. If the Riders are kicking over, and specifically Chris Jones, every stone to find a quarterback to come in and win games here, and it's Vince Young and reportedly now Michael Vick, according to 3downnation.com, or Johnny Manziel. And in the case of Manziel, how would you specifically gauge his interest?
Well, that's
if you didn't go to his publicist, who else would you talk to?
That's what we were talking about. I mean, it's everyone's job to know their job. So, I mean, I guess I'm not making excuses, but there's got to be a way that if Jones wanted Manziel here, there's got to be a way to test the waters so that, you know, they don't trade the farm to Hamilton for someone that's not going to be here. There's got to be something. It's the Negles players. There's got to be some sort of room for wiggle room there. Maybe if a team signs someone from someone else's Negles, that player can have an option of playing with Hamilton, or then you can work out some sort of payment structure. But something's wrong with the way it is now.
Yeah.
Because, yes, he's not making excuses for the $5,000 fine, but it just doesn't seem like good business practice.
I think the league is just saying, like, look, if he's on this Negles of this other team, like, just don't even bother. You know what I mean? Don't even wonder about him if he's on. I think that's what it is. And I agree with you. I think that you say, okay, well, you know what? A, can we talk to him? And B, if he ends up signing with us, we'll give you a conditional sixth-round pick. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah.
Out a deal ahead of time.
Make it that. Yeah, if you sign from someone else's Negles, you give up a first-round pick. Period.
Want to give up a first-round pick. Make it like a, let's be honest, sixth or fifth. There's no way you give up a first-round pick for a Negles guy may come in here. No way.
Right. Then that's what you – I mean, that's the cost. If you really because the Negles, I mean, I don't know how long is a Negles? 20 names?
50.
Yeah, well,
I believe
you just put a whole there's so much secrecy around it. You know, you put a name on there should be some. You shouldn't be able to hoard a whole bunch of players on a roster that really doesn't exist, and you're not going to bring anyone in.
Because it seems Hamilton, like it'd be a petty move too.
Well, that's what the thing.
Find out somebody wants someone.
But
and
that's
just
what
put
it
them
is,
on
dude.
Your Negles for nothing.
But that's what look at Hamilton. They have Caleros. They have that backup dude. They put three quarterbacks that aren't doing so well in the NFL on their Negles, knowing that Jones was Vince Young, Michael Vick, RG3, Kaepernick. Who's the other guy that I'm not thinking about right
Don
now?
Don Hamilton's Negles?
Yeah, those are the three guys that Hamilton added to their Negles. Manziel,
RG3. Well, Manziel was on before Ken Austin ever even showed up.
And then the other two were added. So, I mean, like, okay, the Riders are looking for a quarterback of that ilk, and then all of a sudden Hamilton has three of them on their Negles. Like now that's... I'm all for playing by the rules, but that's just kind of hoarding guys and not allowing them to play. What if Manziel wanted to play and wanted to sign as a Saskatchewan?
What if all three of them wanted
problem.
To go to Hamilton?
No problem. You can't come.
All of a sudden, all three guys call Hamilton right away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll come to camp.
Tillman's MO has been forever.
And that's the rules. I mean, I'm not saying it's okay.
It's the way you build a team.
And that's why, right. And I just think it needs to change. Like, when we were at Western, we used to have like 250 guys out for training camp. Half the guys got cut, but they were enrolled at Western. They couldn't go play for Guelph and Waterloo and all those other teams.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing. They changed the rule in the CIS that you can only have so many people. We call it the Western rule, but that's what it is. I mean, they're stopping guys from earning a livelihood, and now that's a PA issue.
Dan in Regina writes in, Prairie Mobile text line. He says, "Hi, guys. I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but if there was no heir apparent to Darian, then why the hell was he pretty much shown the door? Might have had better luck trying to get Smiling Hank out of his short retirement. As far as Chris Jones goes, he's acting like a kid playing with daddy's money. Good thing this isn't 1987. The Riders would be bankrupt. It's getting embarrassing."
Yeah, you got another rules, period. In any game, you got to know the rules, right? And the thing is, I don't think that Chris Jones and definitely Craig Reynolds is sitting there giving themselves any any they're not making an excuse for it, right? They're like, they should own up to this, right? Because at the end of the day, there are rules and you have to abide by them, right? So, I mean, I don't think anybody's making excuses for him in any respect.
A texter who goes
like a,
by
like
the
a
name RX, RX writes in from the 457, says, ask for permission. It's the only way.
Yeah.
So that's fair. But, you know, back to the Darian Durant thing, whether you like it or you don't, the ship has sailed. For whatever the reasons are, Chris Jones didn't want him quarterbacking this football team this year. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Whether it was a talent issue, whether it was a salary issue, whether it was a personality clash issue, whatever it was, he just didn't want Darian Durant quarterbacking this team this year. And I guess we've realized, and not just the Durant issue, but sometimes you get rid of guys without having a replacement. Jeffrey Orridge, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Well, there's no commissioner lined up. Yeah. And we're 27 days away from the start of training camp.
Man, that's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Well, they've playing devil's advocate, you know, they've replaced Darian's contract with three quarterbacks. Vince Young, Kevin Glenn, and whoever the third guy's going to be are now making as much as Darian Durant did.
And so they were able to go and get guys like Glenn Love, Eddie Steele. They were able to re-up Jefferson, like... Right.
So whether Darian is here or not, they're looking for a quarterback of the future. Now, whether it's Darian, Vince, or Kevin, that's a 1 or 2 year deal, and they're still looking for that guy.
Hmm. Well, I'm trying to get a handle on what the pulse of the fans are, because I've been home now a couple of days. Everywhere I go, I see Rider gear on people, kids, adults, seniors, like... They may be upset at how things are going. They're not that upset, which is fantastic. They're still dialed into what's going on. And I'll go back to the radio hit I did in Lloydminster today. The one host said, should the Riders be embarrassed by this? Yeah, probably they should. I think they are. I think they said that last summer when the first rash of fines hit. Yeah, they don't like it. B, the other co-host said, well, the fans I talked to think Chris Jones knows what he's doing. You said it yourself, Luke. He is... Nobody can say that Chris Jones hasn't tirelessly tried to improve this football team. Mm-hmm. You may not like the way he's done it, but you can't argue with his work ethic. He wants to win here. It's still his reputation on the line. But, because of the fines, and because the president came out on Saturday and said he's extremely disappointed with this latest discipline from the league, and Gary Lawless saying on SportsCenter Saturday night, that Chris Jones will be on a very short leash. I think he said, what the heck? This was, he might have said it was the last straw. I didn't hear it fully. I had it on, but I didn't hear the whole thing. But it's like, I think Chris Jones has cost himself some time here.
I
don't think people will be patient to 2018. They just won't. Not now.
I'll be honest with you. This is unfortunately the side of the business where even though it's a production-based business, right? And I've gone all the way back. I've been saying this all offseason. It's about wins and losses. And unfortunately, the way people are really going to look at this and base their opinion on Chris Jones isn't right now. It's going to be, did they win or did they lose? And I'm willing to bet $1 million that if they come out there and they compete and they're within first and second or third in the Western Division this year, all of a sudden, this is going to be swept under the carpet. However, if they come out, they're bad, and they finish dead last, well, then it'll probably be a much bigger deal. It's an issue right now that hangs in the balance still, unfortunately, and I think it's going to, and we're going to have to see, all right, was it worth it, or was it totally not worth it? And it's something that you can just talk about right now, but honestly, it's wins and losses. And
well, you said it before we even went on the air. You brought up the Patriots model again.
Yeah.
When I read the whole Spygate incident, I thought it was the most insidious thing I'd ever heard, what Bill Belichick was doing.
There was people trying to get Belichick out of the league. And
yes.
I haven't heard one person. And right now you ask all those people that got drafted by the New England Patriots this week, told their family and told their agents, I just got drafted by the best team in the history of professional sports. Anybody in the media, Bill Belichick is a god. When Spygate came out, the Patriots were the worst team in the world.
I couldn't believe Spygate. Well, everyone wasn't doing that.
That's what I'm saying. But what I mean is,
they got cut.
At the end of the day, they still won Super Bowls, and it's miraculous how everybody sort of swept everything else under the rug. Because before they won those Super Bowls, it was, oh, they're cheating, right? Like, yeah, it's something right now in Rider Nation and in Riderville. Unfortunately, you're not going to get any closure on this until you see the wins and loss column. That's where it's going
to
be dictated.
But how long do we have to wait is all I'm saying. Bill Belichick, year one, 5-11. Year two, 11-5.
Yeah.
So is this the year?
Well, I think you hit it. I mean, this latest one maybe cost them some time. Whereas I think we all said, he's got as long as he wants. Where now we're like, well, how long does he have? If. Yeah. But, yeah, if, like Luke said, if he turns it around by the end of the year, what Spygate? What fines?
2013.
The cost of living.
2013.
Or the cost of winning.
Three guys charged with assault on duty. Whoever talks about that? Nobody. Yeah. Patriots this year signed a player, Michael Floyd. The Arizona Cardinals cut him after being picked up DUI on the corner of Scottsdale Road and Goldwater Boulevard. I've been there, passed out with his head on his steering wheel.
Yeah.
Cardinals cut him. 2 days later, he's a Patriot.
Second chances.
Goes on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
they suspended Tom Brady for four straight games because of a deflated football. At the end of the day, nobody's done.
Nobody's
Tom Brady
talking
is the
about it.
Greatest quarterback ever
so,
to play.
NFL. Seeing Allen Iverson in my mind going, we're talking roster violation.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're talking about roster?
It's jaywalking?
The results and the way we're going to see this are, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's against the law.
Because you know how there's sometimes you go down the street and there's U-turn signals. No, there's those no U-turn signals.
Is that
and
what
then
those
you,
mean?
Then, yeah, the U and the cross, you can't do that.
Okay.
But then other intersections, you're not. Right? There is no sign like that.
It's
but
implied.
If you do a U-turn, you're going to get fined anyway.
Yeah,
like,
it's implied.
Yeah.
Well,
just know the rules.
It's not news.
No rules.
I've talked myself into believing that this really isn't a big deal.
It's a deal where at the end of the day, it's going to be wins and losses. That's how football and people are going to look at this organization.
No question about it. Winning's a key thing. Who's kidding who?
Much.
It's all about winning.
See, Lynch?
Lynch knows.
Lynch knows. They make T-shirts in Seattle that say Lynch knows.
And that's not to push it aside, and that's not to try to save face. It's a fact. It's wins and losses, and you can talk about it till you're blue in the face now. If this team wins, this guy's the greatest. If this team loses, oh man, we have to find someone else.
He'll be shown the door. It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales. It's so great to be home. I'll be honest, Luke, by Saturday morning, I was like, I'm ready to go home. I don't always feel that way.
Oh, really?
I was ready.
You stayed that extra day.
It was getting. You ever been? I asked you that.
I pulled in. I was actually glad to be back in Saskatchewan when we.
It was late. Happy to be home.
My plane got delayed. Got in at like 1:30 in the morning.
Same thing happened to me.
Oh. Watched Moana on the way back though. Had Moana's theme song in my head for all weekend.
Midtown Auto Sales is at the corner of 8th and Winnipeg Street. Good deals from the good guys. Visit their website, midtownautosales.ca. We'll be right back on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RMP Sports Kid Sports Ticker. The Washington Capitals look to get back into their NHL Eastern Conference semifinal when they face the Penguins in Pittsburgh tonight. The Pens took the first two games of the series in Washington to give them a 2-0 edge, going back to the PPG Paints Arena. Two people with direct knowledge of the Buffalo Sabres GM search say the team has met with at least six candidates. They reported names including Pittsburgh associate GM Jason Botterill, assistant GM Bill Guerin, as well as assistant GMs from Columbus, Nashville, LA, and New Jersey. Also, Ross Mahoney of the Washington Capitals, a Reginan, we're told, has interviewed for the job as well. The Blue Jays try for their first three-game win streak of the season when they kick off a three-game series against New York tonight at Yankee Stadium. The Jays won a dismal 8-17 in April. Marco Estrada gets the start for the Jays. And, well, Luke's just handed me his phone. I'm going to ask you what that is. RMP Sports Ticker right there, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS.
We've barely got around to Xavier Bingham. So he's the star of last week's minicamp. What do you got? What's hot?
Latest tweet. Actually, it came in about 15 minutes ago. Thanks to all the Ryder fans for the welcomes. We're going to bring the Grey Cup to Ryderville. Sounds like a guy who's in uniform, or at least in training camp.
Well, that is a very curious story.
Now I'm all confused.
Well,
we're all confused. This gets more confusing by the minute.
Well, what did the Ravens offer him? A workout? A contract? A cup of coffee? An apple?
Sounds like an invite to mini camp.
Nothing.
A Keith Scholigan special. Hey, man, we got a pair of shorts here for you. Yeah. We need a guy to stand and hold the bag for our number one draft pick. And when you're done holding the bag, you can go to the CFL. Well, might be one of those.
Just to double back again. He was the star of the minicamp last week in Florida. I watched your piece, Luke.
Yeah,
you identified three. Desmond Reese, the receiver. Xavier Bingham, the DB. And was Gary Wilk. Who was the other? Oh, Brian Bennett, the quarterback.
Brian Bennett.
Those were your big three. Bingham was probably the best player there, and he only participated for 2 days.
But he didn't have any sort of workout before this from the NFL or anything, right?
No.
Like, this is the first time anyone's ever...
And then he's tweeting a thank you to the Baltimore Ravens for the opportunity. We're going... What? What opportunity? We thought you were a writer.
Maybe you had a workout with them last week. Like, I don't know enough of the story, so maybe I shouldn't be commenting. But
yeah,
like,
well, let me tell the story.
But there's very different things, like a workout. A contract's very different than a workout.
I think a lot of players would turn down a CFL contract if they could get an invite to an NFL minicamp.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
That's
so
their
now,
dream. These guys don't grow up talking about the CFL.
No.
Period.
So Bingham is now tweeting... to Ryder fans, that he wants to win a Grey Cup here.
This morning, it was, I'm coming to Ryderville. I misunderstood. Thanks to the Ravens for the opportunity. Let's go. Let's get ready for football, Ryder Nation. And then today, it's thanks to all the Ryder fans for the welcomes. We're going to bring a Grey Cup to Ryderville.
Sounds like he's going to play for two teams.
Yeah, maybe that's
what it sounds like.
Maybe he's Deion Sanders. This is great. He's going to play for two squads and the same sport. That'll be the first time ever.
It sounds like maybe the Ravens offered him a workout. He thought it was a contract and said, I'm going to the Ravens. They took one look at his, his face, his workout bag. You don't need a reason to not cut a guy because they're not on your team.
Yeah.
And they were done with the interview. Maybe it was just a phone conversation. Like, what was the opportunity with the Ravens? A pair of shorts? Less than that?
Which I still think he would take. It almost sounds like he was invited, and then the invite was rescinded. I don't really know. I haven't talked to our football club in probably at least 24 hours about this whole scenario. That all crazy thing right there is it sounds like Bingham's coming here, and he wants to win a Grey Cup, and the Ravens aren't even part of the equation anymore. Secondly... there are those that are now saying the media shouldn't be allowed to come to these mini camps because of the attention that we bring led to Xavier Bingham getting onto the radar of the Ravens and getting a tryout invite.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think that's absolutely absurd. But it also speaks volumes as to what's happening. I mean, this mini camp is a culmination of 100 of them probably, right? And that's maybe the ones... I mean, it's tough to keep these bigger ones...
You have to do them.
But those smaller ones where you're actually going through and finding these guys that went to, you know, couldn't qualify to go to school because their grades or whatever, that's where you're finding. I mean, if you're digging through the coal, you're going to find a diamond. No one's digging through that coal. And if you find a diamond, people are going to start paying notice.
Yeah. I think do you want to grow the game? Listen, this is a tenuous time for the Canadian Football League. We're talking about a population that is consuming their information and the things they love in different ways, and that's going to change. And this Canadian Football League needs to grow the game. We're not out of the dark by any stretch of the imagination. And I talked to a couple guys in football. Things are changing. And the Canadian Football League needs to do everything they can to grow their game. And I doubt, like I said, if you have an accumulation of 35 to 40 guys that you've scouted and done your homework on all year and you get them in one spot, I think that needs to be talked about. It needs to be talked about all over. We talked about last week, four mini camps going on last week? What were we talking about on CFL.ca? Not much, right? I mean, you have to get into it more if you're the league, because
from a writer's perspective, I would hope that the writers had Now, is this infringing on Spygate? Because I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong, and I think every team should scout other teams. I would hope at the four other camps that there was an official or unofficial scout at those camps looking at...
From our team. The Argos had a camp going on in Bradenton.
Yeah.
Winnipeg had a camp going on in Winnipeg.
BC
had a camp. Hamilton had a camp going on in Hamilton.
Yeah.
I mean...
Look, you got to have coverage of these things. Anybody that thinks the media shouldn't be involved or invited to these camps, it's absolutely absurd.
But even if
do your homework and get these guys signed, and then you don't have to worry about it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not the media. I mean, I would hope that the writers had someone... scouting the bomber camp for two reasons.
Absolutely.
To see what the Bombers are going to look like when we play against them, and two, to see if there's anyone at the camp that doesn't fit the bomber mold that might fit the Rider mold, or that does fit the bomber mold that we can cut them off at the airport and say, hey, I'm Chris Jones, and you know what, this is what I do. He's got a great rapport with
athletes. Jump out from behind one of those big plants.
He's got. Who do you think's got a better rapport with, is Jones or Lapo?
We talked to
Chris Jones. Hang on, we got a break.
The attitude of Chris Jones.
Thanks, Lynch. We got to take a break for the news. We'll continue this in an hour or two. It's the Sports Cage Rider Monday on 620 CKRM on the CKRM app. Yeah, welcome to Rider Monday, everybody. Hour two coming at you from downtown Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. It's cloudy out. Sun is not shining. Decent weather, though. And 27 days away from training camp. A twinkle in Luke's eyes happened when I said that last hour.
I can't wait. Time to talk some real football.
Yes.
We were down in minicamp, and that was cool. But and you know, you take what you're given as a player and as somebody down there doing analysis for it. But you know, flag football's over in June, man. It's time to go. It's time to strap on some pads. Get guys like a bull out there to really do some hitting.
Well, that's what I mean. I struggle with some of the names. I mean, you guys are there and you see these guys and you put names to faces, but it's tough to. I always say, you know, do something, kid, and then I'll remember your name.
Listening to our coverage at all?
As much as I could, absolutely. Yeah. I think Luke. I mean, you do a good job too, but man, Luke breaks it down like you're there.
Good.
Or in a language that I can understand.
That's great, because I wonder, because I'm sure to the people sitting back here in Saskatchewan listening was like, just numbers, just names. Mm-hmm. You kind of got to be there.
I wonder if you're...
What?
I wonder if everyone really appreciates the good work that you do, because a lot of the stuff is... You have to be like more than just a casual fan to know that there's a difference between quickness and speed and all
that. Well, the worst part, I mean, to be honest with you, it's the toughest part is saying what you're seeing, but also like you having to say, but they're not in pads, right? But there's no bad. You know what I mean?
But and I think that guy works at the McDonald's.
Yeah.
Don't so get that, started on that. I so can't. That,
and but that's the thing, right? Like you go back and forth, and that's why we always say you got it. It is what it is. These guys are doing this with what they're being put in
the
for,
best
you
they
know.
Can with what they've got, and I don't want to diminish that, but it's very different locking a guy that you don't know and you will never know his name versus locking down a Weston Dressler. We need someone to lock down Weston Dressler,
but that's
the skill set doesn't necessarily.
Dressler had to come from somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's
I'm not diminishing.
Is identifying the guys that have the best chance or look like it right there to lock a guy down like Weston Dressler.
Yeah, but right. To say it, and I'm not diminishing it, but to say, oh, this is the greatest player ever, like a lot of folks in other media outlets do, they discredit the ability of a professional wide receiver by saying this guy is the next coming because...
Yeah.
Well, let me just reset where we are for all of our new listeners here in hour two, what's gone down today. If it matters, 3downnation.com reporting that the Riders months ago reached out to Michael Vick about his availability to come quarterback the Riders. I'll go on record as saying I think it's fake news, which is fine. I deal in fake news all the time.
You are fake news.
Thanks, sir. Don. Fake news to me is manufactured news in the absence of real news. Is that fair?
Are you questioning whether it actually happened?
I believe it happened.
Yeah, so...
And I told Justin Dunk that.
So it's,
but that's not reporting on... And that's what Justin said, because it's not fake news.
That's what I always say.
It happened.
20 degrees and sunny isn't news. Well, today in Lebanon, it was 20 degrees and sunny. Who cares? 17 people were blown up. Now that's news.
We're kind of talking about the same thing. And Arash was with us an hour ago from Yankee Stadium, where the Blue Jays are opening up a midweek set against the Yankees. He felt this does not make the Rough Riders look bad. The onus of this story, or the root of this story, is that Chris Jones continues to look anywhere and everywhere for a quarterback or any other position for his football team. So, boom, there is the news out of that.
That article didn't finish it, but it sounds like we took a positive, GM and head coach that's been behind the eight ball, doing everything that they can to help their organization, yeah. A positive message, and, I mean, turn it to be shady,
yeah.
If you will.
I like, that's a good way to put it, because
just know that, whether it's
for every Mike Vick, there's probably another quarterback also that they were looking at the same time as Mike Vick. How come that guy's not getting reported? Again, business model. What does Third Down Nation probably want? Hits on their website. How they get it? By talking to Rider Nation. Notice how they're not talking about any quarterbacks that were signed in Edmonton.
We could do 50 other. They talk to 50 other guys that we don't know their names of, too, and have 50 other articles just to get people hitting it.
Rider Nation, get this.
But that's on the reader.
Fair enough.
To know what they're reading. My goodness, it's 20 degrees and sunny. I need to read more.
No. Well, you also can't blame 3downnation.com because, as you recall, Luke, their top 10 most read stories, they published it at the New Year's. Six of them were Rider stories.
Exactly. So, it's staying relevant. We want to keep the CFL in the news. We want to keep relevant, so it's not a bad thing. But
at the same time,
know what you're
reading. And I don't call my, I call myself fake media. I really want to be an analyst. But here's the thing. I think that don't cheapen your actual credentials by taking the easy way out. And I think that's what we're talking about at the end of the day. Someone raised the fact that when 100 hockey reporters in ESPN got fired, one of the guys actually penned an article about Stephen A. Smith saying that Stephen A. Smith is still there. How is this? And it's because he's better at yelling than everybody else. And Stephen A. Smith replied immediately to that. Hey, don't disrespect me. I've worked hard. And he listed every single credential out there. Now, Justin Dunk, I'm sure he has some credentials that to go the other way around it and just put out articles based on what you know is going to get hits, to me, cheapens the hard work that you've actually done to get there.
Yeah,
because if you're telling me something that I can actually use, then now you're giving me the stuff that I know Justin Dunk's supposed to be giving me.
Yeah,
he's saying.
And that's, I don't know if that's not in line with what he's been doing. He has really good articles.
He
really brought up great information. This one just seems like an anomaly where it's not really, it's not news. It's just
right. Something. You agree with me now. And furthermore,
but now you put Mike Vick and you put Justin Dunk in a search engine. Now they're attached forever and ever and ever.
The latest on the Xavien Bingham story, for those that are following it, I know the hardcores have. He was the star of last week's mini camp in Florida, 4 interceptions in 2 days, a rookie out of Jackson State, who tweeted on Saturday a thank you to the Ravens for the opportunity. Interesting, he didn't thank the Riders for an opportunity, but that's a whole other story. We are of the belief that he couldn't take to the field in Florida if he hadn't signed a contract with the Riders. That's the new CFL rule. Hmm. So how could he get an invite to the Ravens if he's under contract to the Riders? I would say over the last 24 to 36 hours, there's been a lot going on behind the scenes because Bingham's now come out and tweeted at Rider fans saying he can't wait to get here and win a Grey Cup. But in the very same tweet, he thanked the Ravens again. I went back and read it. Yeah. So what the hell is he doing?
Well, you can't expect him to know the labor disputes between the CFL and NFL. He's a football player. So if he's under contract with the Riders and the Ravens not knowingly offered him a cup of coffee.
And that's what it sounds like.
And there was a misunderstanding. And this guy doesn't know where Saskatchewan is. He knows where Baltimore is and that.
I think we've got it sorted
out. Misunderstood, yeah.
Well, I think he's not going to Raven camp.
And on that note, I think it actually is a credit to the Canadian Football League. The fact that there is this much gray area in a player's mind and the fact that you do need an agent that needs to actually know what you're signing and how you're dealing between the CFL and NFL. I think that a few years ago, this would not have been a problem because nobody would have wanted to sign the CFL, period. Now it's an attractive offer sheet and it says, okay, I'm going to go out and get a chance to play. But it's on an agent. The agent has to be there for Xavien Bingham and say, okay, here's what you signed. This is a contract to play with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Here's your offer from Baltimore. which is a tryout essentially. However, you cannot take this offer because of this contract that you've signed here with Saskatchewan. Now, what we can do, Xavien, is we can call Chris Jones, which is my responsibility, and say, listen, he's got an opportunity. Are you willing to release him periodically? Maybe we sign in a letter of intent that says if he gets released in Baltimore, we'll come back there immediately. Have a contract done up with the signatures on it already, and we'll just date it, right? And that's on the agent. Right, but I think it's cool because you're seeing these problems come up now, and these young players, this kid from Jacksonville State, was looking forward to playing up in Canada. He's from down south. I'm talking south, not Detroit south, not New York south,
a suburb of
south.
Yeah,
south, Trump south,
close to Mexico,
Confederate flag south. And he's excited about Canadian football. Man, that's a testament to where this league's coming. That's also a testament to why this league needs to continue having media at their camps. Because you don't – this game has to continue to grow.
You don't get
it has to
ESPN.
Be a triumph.
No. And this is 2017 now. You have to understand, for those that don't, with the speed of social media, the media made Xavien Bingham and his own play as well – made him a star within 2 days. Hey, you know who he is now.
Absolutely.
And you can
so
say it
Baltimore
again.
Baltimore and every other team.
I find it impossible to believe that the Baltimore Ravens offered him a tryout 24 hours after his Ryder camp only because they saw the media coverage the kid was creating out of Vero Beach. I find that, I can't even believe that to be true. And yet there are many that say if the media wasn't there reporting on him, the Ravens wouldn't even know about him. And they're mad about it.
To me, I think it's one of the cases where you say you got a list. You're a scout. You got a list of eight guys. You're about to break down the film for the next 3 hours. You're trying to figure out who you watch first because all these names are guys you've already been familiar with. All of a sudden, something pops up in Ryderville.com or the contacts that says, hey, you look at your sheet. Oh, he's here. And there's literally eight guys on that list. You know what? Let me save myself some time. Let me look at this one first. If he's good, I'll consider it.
So am I to believe that there wasn't one NFL team there, maybe even the Ravens were the one, that were there to watch Vince Young?
Not registered.
Just to see? None that I saw.
No, it doesn't matter if you saw them or not.
Yeah, that's the thing.
To suggest that there's not someone spygating or someone that's not paying attention, maybe from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that were around the corner. Or
there are a couple
Miami
football
Dolphins.
Coaches that came out that didn't announce themselves. I was standing there. There was one guy, and I knew he was a football coach right away because he came out there. He had his high socks on. He had his shorts up to his belly button, and he was right. I mean, that was football. That was old school football coach as far as I was concerned. I didn't know where he was from, but there were guys like that.
I would hope that Chris Jones isn't the only professional football coach and GM that's scouring every single resource to find players.
See,
if there wasn't 10 scouts at that camp, then I'll eat my lunch.
Why do we think it's so unrealistic that that's how he came onto the Ravens' radar? Now, you're talking to the son of an NHL scout 27 years, my dad.
Right,
I know how these guys use every resource at their disposal. So there's maybe how did the Ravens invite him 24 hours after the Ryder minicamp? They had all winter to invite him. There had to be a connection there. Unless they had somebody at the camp, which I don't think they did.
I'm still confused. So you think, do people think that the Ravens are trusting Rod Peterson, who is a great media guy,
or
but
whomever,
may not know the first thing about tech football technicianalities? So they're trusting their scouting department. Is that what we're...
No,
is
I'm
that
saying they're using both
believe?
Resources. And by the way, talking with Mark Trestman when he was in Chicago, you would be surprised at the amount that they do scour CFL news outlets for what's going on
Coach,
up here.
Coach Jones was scouring. Like, man, we talked to him down there, and when we were talking to him, he said we literally have guys who were going out to get while they were having the mini.
Yeah, I don't think Otis Smith or whoever the GM for
Ozzie Newsome.
Thank you. Is looking on rodpeterson.com and says, oh, Rod likes this player, so we should offer him a contract.
So you think the timing of the invite was just a coincidence?
No, I think that they had their... People hire scouts and pay them money. How much did you get paid for being a scout, football scout? Zero. So they, if maybe they see Vince Young's there and they send their scout or their buddy's scout or their cousin's uncle and they said, hey, yeah, this 27 looks good.
Or they
then
call
maybe they
one,
go
yeah.
online and then they look at, yeah, we can give this.
Yeah, his
shot.
Tape was not the clips that we had up on Ryderville.com though. Is what
oh,
we
you don't think that, yeah. that the people don't think that the Ravens have at least three game tapes from this kid?
Three, they
Jackson
got a whole
State.
Senior
yeah,
year.
A library, yeah.
People,
yeah.
People know who this kid is.
Okay, that's perfect. That's perfect.
That's crazy.
But, so to end it
but
where
they
we
got to see him again in
sure,
a professional environment.
Sure, but let's just say then, let's not ban the media from going to these mini camps because there are those that say that the media shouldn't be allowed for this exact reason.
They weren't on the fences regarding assigning him, and then they read and they made the decision based on the article Rod Peterson said that he picked Vince Young in practice on the first day. They didn't say, okay, that does it right there. He's off the fence. We're bringing him in a camp. That
what they happen. Might do is say, oh, yeah, all right. I don't even know. We're talking about a whole bunch of like weirdness.
This is what's being talked about in the CFL right now.
In my world, I would hope that there's no GMs trusting your judgment. Maybe they get the name of some guy off a website and they're sending their own people to take a look.
That's exactly what. They're not saying no. They're not making any final decisions based on what was talked about on a radio show or yeah you're.
Would hope you're right, and very arrogant of me to believe that this was the case.
Yeah.
And yet there are people saying it, and that's why I brought it up. We got to take a timeout. Plenty more to get to. We haven't even talked about the Riders' fines from Friday. We'll get to that and more. It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Our Rider Monday continues for our friends at Midtown Auto Sales. Good deals from the good guys over there. You can find them at the corner of 8th Avenue and Winnipeg Street. Give them a call, 347-2277. Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. The Raps in Cleveland opening round two of the NBA playoffs. They are trailing the Cavs. My TSN Go app says 22-13. The Cavs are up. I think they got a little bigger lead than that. It's not entirely up to date. We got it on the TV here. Thank you. The defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins can put the Washington Capitals on the ropes with a win tonight. The Pens took the first two games of their Stanley Cup Eastern Semi in Washington and can put the Caps on the brink of elimination with a win tonight. 5:30 faceoff.
Some of the greatest basketball players in the world don't have championship rings because of Michael Jordan. To think that Alex Ovechkin may not have a championship ring at the end of his career because of Sidney Crosby. That's crazy.
The Blue Jays are in New York tonight to kick off a three-game series with the Yankees. The Jays capped a miserable April with their first series win, taking two of three off the Rays. Marco Estrada on the bump for the Blue Jays. Yankees giving the ball to Luis Severino. It is scoreless in the bottom of the first inning. And that is your Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Try the new signature pizza recipes like Canadian Back Bacon or Chicken Shawarma at Boston Pizza for a limited time. Can you bring back Spicy Thai Chicken while you're at it?
Oh, yeah.
That was the best.
And whatever, people don't know what a Canadian pizza is. I know we've talked about
it. What is that?
What?
Man, you better not say it's got pineapple on it, whatever.
No, that's it's pepper.
You're talking about the Great White North?
Pepperoni, bacon, mushroom.
That's Canadian pizza.
They're all
pepperoni,
good.
Bacon, and mushroom.
They're all good. There's so many good pizzas.
From Kate on the Prairie Mobile text line. She says, Rod, did you say earlier that Craig Reynolds is ticked off at Jones and that he could be on, quote, a short leash? Reynolds is the guy who agreed to Jones being VP football ops, GM, and head coach. He's paying Jones to have all this ridiculous authority, so maybe he should rethink what he did. With Coach Jones filling all those roles, Jones can do what he wants without anyone knowing what he's up to, right? Do I understand that correctly? The only direct quote from Craig Reynolds on the weekend was that he was extremely disappointed, unquote, with the latest round of fines that his football team is paying. The short leash comment was from Gary Clueless. On TSN Sports Center on Saturday night.
But it's justified that he's on a shorter leash than whatever that means, but it's justified that it's one of those things where if you violate a couple of enough times, like, man, maybe it's something where, okay, you know what? From this point on, you need to report to the board and me every single week on what's going on because this is ridiculous, right? Something like that. Might have been one of those conversations.
from Betty in Regina. We got a lot of female listeners chiming in today. Betty says, get ready, Mosh. She says, these violations are peanuts compared to the Patriots. The CFL has it in for the Riders. I'm totally PO'd. Get Lynch on.
How dumb can you be?
That's the best you can do.
Yeah, smarty pants.
Chris from Regina writes in, nobody cares about the fines. The buzz is all about the potential of the team this year. Interesting to see who will be the starting quarterback throughout the season. Vince Young sure is neat to follow. I'm with Chris to a degree. Like when the fines came down on Friday, I was in Miami. Luke, you were obviously in the airport following what was going on when you were texting me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was like all good all week.
Yeah.
With the mini camp.
It was great.
And then this.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Because, because what I've been getting since I got home is 90% about the fines and about Jones and how
see,
the Riders
crazy.
Look.
Oh, that's the only that as much as I dismiss like questions and stuff like that, my questions haven't been about the fines at all. It's been about what's the football team looking like, yeah. Who's, you know what I mean? So maybe I just I'm lucky enough.
We're talking to different people.
Yeah, thank God. Because I wouldn't know what to say to those other people, right? Like I said, wins and losses. That's how it's going to be.
I'll say it again. On Lloydminster Radio today, the one co-host asked me if the Riders are embarrassed by the most recent round of fines. The other co-host said the people in Lloyd are saying Jones knows what he's doing, and if we win, nobody's going to care. And he's probably right.
What would folks say that if we traded a first-round pick for Johnny Manziel? And now we got Johnny Manziel's Negris rights, and Johnny Manziel says, yeah.
Nah.
Nah.
Oh, man.
What would fans think about
this guy's
that,
the worst. Then? I can't believe it.
He didn't do his due diligence.
We gave away a chance to get Mark O'Meara.
I'll say it again.
He should have talked to his publicist before trading.
Hey.
This is ridiculous.
I actually thought about this when the fine came down for talking to Manziel's publicist on Friday. How, if you were Chris Jones, if you had his job, and you were interested in getting Manziel up here, how on earth would you go about it without going to the publicist?
Yeah,
I have no idea what else you would do.
Got to gauge some type.
You make the trade, but you go through the proper channels. You trade for the rights to his negotiation list.
So you blow a couple
of
draft picks on a maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what
that's
the alternative.
The Canadian Football League, where the 6th-round draft pick could equal out the same amount of production. Well, that's the.
What would you rather have, a 1st-round pick or $5,000?
Me?
Like
I'd rather give up $5,000 in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up a 1st-round pick for a negotiation.
No, right. You could have traded that 1st-round pick or whatever for the right to talk to the, or you can just go and ask for you can ask for permission and that's going to cost you a 1st-round pick, or you can ask for forgiveness and that's going to cost you $5,000.
Yeah.
Hey, just before we break, from Mike in Regina, he says, I don't care about the fines. Big deal. The amount it comes to is a joke. Which is basically beer sales before halftime.
Yeah, it's a sellout game.
He says, we got bigger fish to fry, like our Pats in the league final. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But we do a thing called Rider Mondays around here. I didn't bring in two football jabronis to talk about the Pats and the Thunderbirds. However,
how dumb can you be?
In hour three, Bobby Lowe's, the two-time CHL Coach of the Year, will be with us. The captain of the 1984 Pats and scout for the Vegas Golden Knights. Will be with us to talk about this upcoming WHL League final and his memories of captaining the Pats to that 7-game series in 84. That's all coming up, so just hold on to your panties. We'll take a timeout and talk about a few other things Rider-related. The CFL draft, by the way, is on Sunday. Who's talking about that besides nobody?
It is?
No. Yeah.
Hang on.
Hey, guys.
It's just Homer Simpson.
Oh, man.
It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Rider Monday, that's what we do around here. If you can believe we've made it through 6 months of an offseason, we are 27 days away from training camp and not talking about fake news anymore. I don't think we will be when the first ball flies in the air, Sunday, May 28th in Saskatoon. Hey, Saskatoon! You're going to meet Vince Young. That's exciting. Before we talk about the CFL draft coming up this Sunday, a tweeter has written in on the Molson Coors Twitter feed with regards to the timing of the invite of the Baltimore Ravens to Xavier Bingham for their minicamp.
Well, that's a very good point. We haven't even talked about it.
It was so obvious.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the media.
It's guys, the nose for your face.
We have to remember that teams are only allowed to offer rookie tryouts and things like that after the draft. When was the draft? It was this weekend, starting Thursday. So Xavier Bingham getting an offer on Sunday wasn't probably after the Baltimore Ravens listened to Sports Cage. It was probably after the fact that the Baltimore Ravens had him on the list and had to wait till Sunday to sign him.
It's fake news.
It is fake news.
Fake news.
Thanks, Rod Jensen.
Yeah.
Where's the president on that one? What are you guys doing over there?
What do you mean?
Is our producer even listening to us?
This guy's dead. He's not here. What are you guys doing?
He's mad now. I'll be glad when Riley takes over.
How dumb can you be?
I can't wait till Riley takes over.
We were looking for a fake news drop.
Whatever.
You are fake news.
Thank
Sir.
You.
Thanks. 30 minutes late. Thanks, Mosh. Way to be effective and efficient.
Poor kid.
Whatever.
Poor kid. Listen, by the way, it was not me saying he got the invite because of our media coverage. It wasn't me that said it.
No.
But there's a lot of football people out there across the CFL saying maybe the media shouldn't be invited into these camps.
I wonder if those are football people after.
Well, I'm just telling
you. Are those media people?
Mike in Regina, another Mike writes in. He says, Rod, if the Ravens base their scouting program on the sports department of CKRM.
I know.
They may want to reevaluate.
How dumb can you be?
How they
win a Super Bowl again?
How dumb can you be?
Zero Super Bowls. Hey, Coach Harbaugh, we're having some real
Rod Peterson said
identifying talent.
Stop. Hey. Stop it.
You know what, guys? Let's listen to the radio shows.
John Harbaugh is following Scruffy on Twitter. Mike goes on to ask.
So Scruffy's the reason why we lost.
Scruffy's
we almost lost Xavier.
The Bingham. Reason.
Thanks a lot, Scruff.
Mike goes on to say, any word on who might be the new commissioner? You know what's hilarious? We're looking for a commissioner. Nobody's talking about it. The draft's on Sunday.
No.
Nobody's talking about it.
Justin Dunk wants to put out that we tried to sign Vic. We got the draft coming up. We got zero commissioners. And our media is over here worried about Michael Vick. There's the depth.
I know.
Of what
stop
we've got
for
going
one
the
second.
CFL.
The CFL.ca sends a reporter down to Ryder Minicamp.
Yeah.
I asked if I could interview him. I said, hey, why don't you come on my show? Talk about what you're doing here. You're the first full-time hired writer for the CFL website. He goes, I got to run it by head office.
Yeah.
They probably got to run it by the governors. Da-da-da-da-da. I'll get back to you.
No. 4 minicamps last week and
almost
pretty much zero coverage.
Zero coverage. So, look,
so he was
on.
Sent there to cover, and he's asking if he can cover it?
Yeah. I asked him to come on my show to promote what he's doing, and he wouldn't do it.
Nah.
Look, I had just hang on. I had ESPN on in my room 24/7. Luke stayed with me for 24 hours of that, and you saw it. It was great. They'll put the janitor of the Atlanta Falcons on the air to talk his thoughts on what the Falcons need for the draft. They'll put anybody on the air. And it's working.
We're over here like, nah.
I can't get anybody to go on.
Well, they sent me down here to.
We want access.
We want access and we want to grow the game. But we're not going to do this list of 30 things here.
So if the CFL sent a reporter down to cover the camp, but that reporter had to ask CFL if they could cover the camp.
Yes.
If they could come on my show.
Right.
Which,
man, this whole show hasn't made any sense. Fake news after fake news.
I'm used to it. I'm used to it now. I'm used to it. Like, I don't know. I'll say it again. In America, if the NFL was looking for a commissioner, that's all they would talk about until they found one.
Check out
even if they weren't looking for somebody.
The OTAs start. Go check out ESPN's coverage of OTAs. Go check out NFL Network's coverage of the OTAs. They're all over it. All over it.
Oh, I know.
Nonstop. Some junior kid out of college has got a mic and he's talking, man.
Every rep's being reported.
Every single rep. Every single, even the quarterbacks that are missing are being talked about it. I'm telling you right now, they're going to be projecting where Jay Cutler ends up.
Yeah. Well, I'm expecting that the CFL will probably ban the media from these mini camps. It depends how this goes. Because quite frankly, we're not brought in to talk about our side of things.
The CFL that puts the draft, that wants to grow the game, but puts the draft on 7 p.m. Eastern Sunday.
Why?
Where's Lynch now? Nowhere.
Lynch will be watching, by the way, just so you
come
know.
Come on,
man. I feel like this, all the information has been made up today. And like, no, they can't be. Wait
I'm
a minute, Mike Vick. Sunday at 7? Really?
Yeah, that's when the draft is. Sunday at 7.
Dunk doesn't want to do what? Like,
we should Google what the schedule of TV is like on Sunday at 7.
The best shows are on Sunday at 7.
The best primetime shows. Sunday
that's
at
that's 7. Where we'll go. We'll go right up against the NFL as well.
We
want to
compete with The Walking Dead.
And Dateline.
Yeah. Seems like that's who's making the decision sometimes.
Oh, man. That's tough, man. It's a tough time slot.
Furthermore, I don't know what the CFL wants to do with their draft. Do they want to make it a thing, as they say? Because the last 2 years, it was in prime time on a Tuesday. And Luke, you and I were broadcasting live from the Rider
Fun
locker
stuff.
And it was
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And they'd make their pick, and the Riders would bring Chamberlain through or
yeah.
Murph through, and they would talk, and it was great. And now, you know what? Let's change.
But it's unfortunate. The Riders are on a different level as far as recognizing what needs to be covered and what doesn't.
But the rest of the league can't give up.
I know. It's bad. It's
but like the decisions are being made by Toronto people. We talk about this almost every week.
Yeah,
people that work for the CFL are Toronto – live – in, born and raised in Toronto, and so they wear Toronto glasses when talking about the CFL.
It doesn't take a genius to figure out you can't move the draft's time and day every year.
But you've been watching the CFL through Saskatchewan Rough Rider glasses, which could not be different than Argo glasses.
Guys.
And that's who's running the CFL.
Abu, I don't care who's running it. You can't move it every year.
Right.
You just can't.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't know if we can do this draft on Monday at 6:30 p.m. I got a Pilates class that I got to be in. I got to take the subway.
That's Toronto.
I got to take the subway.
It fits better for me.
It's honestly, can we do it on like a Sunday?
Nobody cares anyways.
I'm not doing anything on a Sunday.
Stop.
Is that cool?
No, it's
what
I mean,
about,
that's
no, no, no.
Real.
What about the notion I threw out in my column this morning that by some way, can we incorporate the CFL draft into CFL week? Because you're going to, it looks like, have thousands of fans there as a built-in audience.
Yeah.
Don't do the combine there because it's boring as hell anyways. Do that weeks in advance and have the draft during CFL week. I think it's at least something.
I would disagree about the combine. But so then what does this, then do you bring players in for the draft? And then have it.
I'm just saying, let's start with doing it then, and then let's throw some ideas on the table and see how we could do this.
I like the combine. I like the stuff that you called boring. I thought that was probably the most entertaining stuff of the entire week.
Okay, I'm going to do a Twitter poll right now. What would have you as a CFL fan more excited to watch live? The combine or the draft?
A draft where there's no players and they're just naming names.
Well, no, you're changing the rules. So
no, I'm asking.
Philly
you.
Had a packed house in their draft.
I'm asking for it because it'll
60, be 60,000 people there.
60,000 people at Philly's draft in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's because if you want to be drafted in the first round in the NFL. In the CFL, you don't want to be drafted in the first round
because
you want to go and play in the NFL.
The players weren't at the draft. They were in their own little war rooms in the NFL.
Right.
Not all of them, but yeah.
Most of Mahomes was in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. The guaranteed first-rounders were there.
Yeah.
They knew it.
Who was the quarterback from
Texas Tech?
Went to Kansas City. He was sitting with Lee Steinberg.
Oh, that's Mahomes. Yeah.
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
He wasn't there?
No. Well, not all of them are going to be.
So you don't necessarily have to have the players there, but it would be a good
start.
But
you should have a camera on them wherever they are, and the CFL doesn't have those resources.
Or... let's look for a commissioner and not tell anybody about it. Let's have mini camps and not let the media in. And let's have a draft that nobody gives a rat's ass.
You're hired. You're the new commissioner.
Hey, thank you.
You're
man.
In.
Because that's kind of where we're going.
That's great. Listen, you're
done.
The man. How come
that's
we didn't
easy
find
too.
You before that?
We can get to our Pilates class, too.
Yeah, jeez.
Just don't cause problems. Bobby Lowe's coming up in hour 3 to talk Pats, Thunderbirds, and the 84 WHL final. The last time the Pats were there. Yeah, and we'll get Lynch on this week because I'm sure he's wound up. As a matter of fact,
I talked to his secretary and enjoyed her.
Lynch emailed me today with the Riders draft needs.
Oh, man. What did they say? Read them out. Let's hear what Lynch has got to say.
Do you want me to read it in a Lynch voice?
Yeah, sure.
I'll do it after the break. It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker play is underway in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers are hosting the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of their second-round NBA playoff series. They're midway through the second quarter. The Cavs lead 47-39. The Blue Jays are in flight in New York. They lead at the Yankees 2-0 in the top of the third inning. On the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. Is it Estrada or Stroman? It's Estrada. They put Aaron Sanchez back on the 10-day disabled list, by the way. The Calgary Flames have signed general manager Brad Treliving to a multi-year contract extension. Treliving has served as the Flames GM since April of 2014, and Calgary has reached the playoffs twice under his tenure. Oilers captain Connor McDavid, along with Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Sergei Bobrovsky of the Columbus Blue Jackets were named the three finalists for the Hart Memorial Trophy today. That's the MVP of the NHL. And Sid the Kid and the Penguins are on the ice for Game 3 of their second-round Eastern Conference playoff series against the Capitals. The Pens have a 2-0 series lead after winning the first two in D.C. That is the RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. CFL Draft is this Sunday. Chris from Brandon writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, what's wrong with having the draft in prime time on a Sunday? At least I won't have to call in sick to watch it this year.
Fair enough.
So that's cool. John Lynch has emailed us with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders draft needs. It's not that long, the email. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
It's only 24 positions.
In Lynch voice. There's no doubt the Riders will draft an offensive lineman with their second choice in the first round, and it will be Jean-Simon Roy, a 6'3", 285-pound offensive guard from Laval. The book on him is he's tough, smart, mobile, and a leader, and can play center as well, which would be a huge bonus for the Riders. The Laval offensive line has been a key to their success in recent years, with three of their starters being drafted in the top rounds last year. That from John Frenzy. On the Riders' draft needs and first-round pick.
It's not as erratic as I was hoping for it to be.
That's it? Oh, yeah, I thought it was going to be. Well, we need an offensive line. We need a running back and a quarterback and a receiver and a DB and a linebacker and a defensive nose tackle.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders Plaza of Honor Committee has called a news conference for Tuesday at 1 p.m. in the media room at Mosaic Stadium. The committee will introduce this year's inductees to the Plaza of Honor. Is this the year Mike Abu Meshrick hears his name called?
I hope no. You know what would be a good time for that? Sunday night at 9:30.
Yeah, what we talk about. The Riders actually know what they're doing in terms of their content and stuff. It's the league that's...
The Riders should just...
Who's going in, guys? Who should go in?
Omar?
Oh, man.
Morgan?
Who are they...
I really have no idea.
Running out of names here.
In terms of who should go in?
Crickets. John Lynch.
He's not in yet?
We should change the subject.
Yeah. Why?
What did you say?
Mike Abu Meshrick has a case study, a business proposal for his own inclusion.
Right, just ask me. I've got it. I can supply it to the board if they want to listen.
Submit proposals.
I've got some really good arguments.
Barry Winnipegish.
It is.
Yeah. Can Matt Dominguez go in for a second year in a row? Because that's what he's voting for.
Les in Regina writes in, the CFL governors are damaging the league image more than Jones is. This latest one is more of an embarrassment to the league as a whole. They should change the way the negotiation list is protected, i.e., treat the players like a restricted free agent any team can contact.
And have to match the offer.
And if there's a player interest, the agent can throw it up to the team to force them to move on the player in question. In Jones, we trust. That's from Les.
That seems like the easy solution that we were talked about earlier.
Brian writes in, hey, Roddy, great discussion. Let's face it, Chris Jones will never be embarrassed, ever. As longtime Rider fans, we are embarrassed.
For what?
I agree Chris Jones is trying his darndest, but we both know he's doing it without integrity. If it doesn't work out, he takes his sack of money. Great show. Go Riders. That's from Brian.
Well,
Randy in White City writes in, the biggest issue here is not the fines. It's very odd. We are the only ones who get fined for rules in some cases that I've never even heard of. Sort of like the double penalty the other night. I find it very hard to imagine the other teams go without some rule infraction. I do not find it hard to imagine the CFL office is out to get Jones as the last official mandate of Jeffrey Orridge.
It's like, man, I'm going out with guns blazing here. I'm fining the riders for everything.
Jeff. It's like people forgot everything we talked about last year over the offseason. Glenn Johnson is the guy behind the fines. And that, like, we believe that, don't we? Don't we? It's like, we said at the time, Luke, that Johnson was coming up with these letters and then passing it to Orridge to sign on the bottom.
Just sign this, man. Just sign this. We got, don't worry. Let me.
Is it illegal, Glenn? Yes, it is. Trust me.
Are you sure? Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. I don't know. I don't know, man. Honestly, wins and losses. Period. That's what
we're talking about. Roster infractions.
That Manziel, that $5,000 one, that's like, you know, the Rider Nation's embarrassed. That's like being embarrassed for jaywalking. I mean, jaywalking's against the rules, but man, I don't know if I've.
It's tampering. There's no two ways about it.
But what's the alternative? What would you rather him do? Trade the draft pick for the right to talk to someone?
Yeah.
I think the texter wrote in earlier, call Ken Austin. Say we'd like to talk to Johnny Manziel about his availability.
You know what Austin's going to say? No, he's on our neg list. Give us a draft pick, and then you can talk. That's why there's a neg list.
Do you think he'd do that, Luke?
Yes.
It's like saying, I just...
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why you put people on the neg list, so that other teams won't talk to them.
Do you mind if we talk to Johnny, and if he's interested, we'll work out a deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Not a problem.
I think, yeah.
First round draft.
Yeah, whatever.
Pick. Give me the phone number right here. I got it on my drawer.
Here's his number. Just know that if he wants to come to your camp, it's going to cost you 2 first round picks. Then you got him.
What role does Austin have in making the Saskatchewan Rough Riders better and letting Jones talk?
No,
his
role is building his own team.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So if he can get a couple of draft picks for a negotiation list quarterback he didn't even think he'd ever have,
and that's a win. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to talk to Austin, if you want to talk to my guy, it's going to cost you a 5th round pick. Ahead of time. Yeah. That's what I would do.
It's all about the deal.
I'd give him a supplemental draft pick.
Okay, guys. Great show.
All right.
Try and sleep this week. I know you're excited about the CFL draft. We'll talk about it on Friday. Hey, Pats and Thunderbirds open up the WHL final Friday night. We'll talk about that with the great Bobby Lowe's coming up in hour 3. It's a Rider Monday on 620 CKR.
It's time for the Sports Cage.
The Pats will play for the NHL Cup, first time since 1984. 33 years.
To get into the cage, call 306-936-6262. Out of town, toll free, 1-866-767-0620. Or text 306-551-CKRM. Now let's step inside the cage with your host, Rod Peterson.
What a game! What a series! And what a win!
Filsy blown out his spleen last night. In the NMAX Center in the Bridge. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Sports Cage, everybody. It's our Rider Monday. If you've missed anything on the show today, you've missed a lot, I gotta say. Back from Florida, I am. God's waiting room.
Doesn't look like you hit much sun, though.
Serious?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Sarcasm, Rod.
There's a lot of Q-tips down there, Mosh. You'd like it.
I'm sure I would.
Those older gals couldn't get away from you.
Hey-o.
I'll get to the Rider stuff a little later because I know the city's going crazy. Have your Facebook friends and stuff, have you read stuff today about tickets going on sale and how fast they went for the finals?
Just the negativity that people couldn't get tickets. And it's like, there's only so much to go around. Like, you've got to be quick on the trigger, and if you missed, well, unfortunately, you might be paying some scalping prices to get in there or trying to sneak in some other way.
Oh, man. I feel like I went away for 8 days, came back, and we're kind of talking about all the same stuff.
Yep.
In that.
But it's good.
Well, it's what the Pats have wanted for the entire regime of the last ownership and this ownership. They've been trying to create that buzz that it's the place to be. It's where you got to get the tickets, and now it's here. And, yeah, they're loving it. But I saw the same things. And I don't want to say who. I don't want to name names. But no. They're mad that the Ticketmaster policy is you can buy up to 8 tickets and people are turning around. Like, have you seen that?
Oh, instantly.
Yeah.
Online, tickets are skywards or upwards of $100 a ticket. That's people are trying to make a buck. It sucks, but unfortunately, this is the world that we live in now, and people are getting away with it.
Actually, it's the world we've always lived in.
Well,
it just hasn't happened here.
I guess, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So the point is, if you're such a Pats fan, then you're going to be willing to shell out the dough if you're that big of a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But enough about that. I mean, did you hear how fast tickets went today?
I heard game one went in 2 minutes and game two went in 5. And I'm sure it took a little longer than that, because I remember last week they said the same thing. And I know some people were buying tickets at a certain time. But I think it's just how long it took people to get in there and how long it took for the tickets to actually be gone before people said, no, I don't want these ones. And then they went back into the bank and someone else grabbed them. But 7 minutes for 2 games, that's incredible.
You know, there's something to be said, I guess, for those that like to stand in line.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was at a meeting at 7 a.m. this morning, and a guy came late, and he said he was in line for the doors to open to Safeway to get the tickets that the Safeway sells for the Pats. And he said there was hundreds of people there, and he gave up.
Mm-hmm.
But they're cheaper at Safeway, right?
I don't think by much, though. Like, I don't know if they've increased.
If you shave off $3 a ticket in this town, people are going to wait in 2 hours for it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you can buy online now, right? I mean, growing up, Mosh, you remember people sitting out front of Best Buy Christmas night waiting for the doors to open Boxing Day for the sale, when you can buy all that same stuff online. I think people just want to say they waited all night in a lawn chair out front of Best Buy.
Yeah, exactly. I would never do that.
I never have.
Nope.
I waited in line for the gates to open at Craven.
Well, that's a little bit different, though.
That would shock nobody listening right now, I don't think. That's the only thing I'm willing to wait for. By the way, we're well into our Monday sports night, aren't we, on the sports schedule? You saw the hit that knocked Sidney Crosby out of Game 3.
Yeah,
was it that bad?
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. I think I don't think it was worthy of a 5-minute penalty. I think that I think he was just trying to stop, and Crosby just kind of fell and landed into the stick. Now, I don't know. I only seen it on the replay, so I didn't see it as it was unfolding. But a lot of people are saying it was a dirty hit. Others are saying, no, he was just kind of slowing up, and he fell. And it's just.
And who hit him? Niskanen?
Niskanen,
yes. He's kicked out of the game.
He gone.
Okay, so the Caps lead 1-0 at Pittsburgh. That game has 6 minutes to go in the first period. Pittsburgh has a 2-0 series lead. Raptors trailing at the half at Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. Game one of their second round series. Cavaliers 62, Raps 48. And the Blue Jays are in flight, Jerry.
Going for their third win in a row.
Woohoo! A lot of excitement in town about the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
They have a 2-0 lead at the Yankees, top of the fourth inning. So that's what's going on.
Everything is happening.
It's a great sports night.
Yep.
But hey, I promise we'd talk Pats with the great Bobby Lowe's, 2-time
I've been looking forward to this
one. CHL Coach of the Year, former coach of the Wheat Kings, coach of the Pats, now of the Vegas Golden Knights, one of their top scouts. Bobby captained the Pats to the 84 Western Hockey League final, a 7-game series loss to the Kamloops Junior Oilers. Now, Bobby joins us tonight from Kelowna, BC, where he was in attendance last night, seeing the Seattle Thunderbirds beat the Rockets out. Game 6 win, 3-1. So they moved on to the league final. Losey, let me ask you this. We'll talk about this series in a minute, Pats and Thunderbirds. But 1984, how much do you still think about that?
A lot. If you kind of know, you're talking about the Kamloops series,
yes.
Obviously the league final.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a tough one. We had a real close team. We battled hard through the playoffs and got there. And the series, the final, they beat us the first 2 games in Kamloops quite handily, and then we had to go back for 3 in Regina, and we crawled our way back in and battled real hard to get up 3-2. And then we go back to Kamloops and we're up in game 6. And we give up a goal with 12 seconds left. And then they score in overtime. And then the next late, it was 2-2 going in the third, and we lost 4-2 with an empty netter, I believe. But, like, we had it. And, you know, we were right there. And, yeah, you never forget those things. And as a group, you know, we had a real tight team. And that's the one thing that really hurts when you go back. But that's part of sport. So.
Well, you'll have to forgive me because I was so young, Bobby. But was there no, I say that tongue in cheek. I can't really remember.
I know.
But there was a contest a contested offside. Was that in game six?
Yeah, that was the game six. They threw a long pass and it should have been either offside or icing. And they never called it down. So then the faceoff ends up in our end with like 20 seconds left. So, you know, if they that call's a little different, you know, we might be champions, so you never know. They could have got it down the ice and scored in 20 seconds, but it would have been a little more favorable. It is what it is. That's sport, like I said. And, you know, I was on the ice at the end, and maybe I should have done a better job on the faceoff.
Well, I know you think about it because I talk to Dirkach regularly, and he says the same thing. But on that offside, if with the way it's officiated today, do you think that would have snuck through, or is it just one of those things that happens? Would it be caught today?
I don't know. It was just one of those things. It was just the heat of the moment things. It's a small. It was in the old building, and you know you can't really go by. It's just one of those things. It's they didn't think it was offside, and we did. It's I don't know if in this day and age would help or anything. It's just there is still error in human error with refereeing now anyway. So, you know, I don't know if that's a call that they could have brought back and looked at on video, even if that was reviewable now, because it was just sort of face-off positioning. It wasn't based on a goal.
Right.
The goal resulted after the face-off. So,
yeah. So. Who knows how officials do things?
I agree.
Yeah. So, just I'm not quite done on the 83-84 team. What do you remember about it, Bobby? What was special about that group?
Well, we had a close team. We had guys who were really close, and what we really had was guys accepting and willing to play their roles. And you know, we had great like Dale Dirkach is probably one of the best players I ever played with. He was phenomenal in the playoffs that year. He set a record. I think it still hasn't been broken points-wise. And then we had guys like Lyndon Byers and Taylor Hall and Dougie Trapp. And, you know, we had some legitimate guys. We had great goaltending by Jamie Reeve and a real formidable defense. And, you know, we had some injuries on the back end, too. We lost Jason Meyer, who couldn't play in the final. If he would have been playing, I believe it would have been a different story as well, because he was a high draft pick of Buffalo and a real good player. So, we were a close group, and we really enjoyed playing with each other, and we wanted to win a championship. So it was a little bit hard to take at the time, but great memories and really good friendships out of all of it. So.
And I'm sure the Pats are feeling the same way about this year's group, and I'll get to that in a minute, but you've obviously seen Seattle. What are they going to bring into this series?
Well, they get the one line with Barzal, Gras. Well, first, start off, they've got the experience. They went to the league final last year. They have the one line of Barzal, Gras, and Kolesar. They're all drafted players, but that one line is a real is one of the best lines in junior. And they got a little bit of everything on that line. Kolesar is big and strong, plays a heavy game, can score, goes to the net, physical, drops a score with some speed, and then Barzal is the playmaker and high-end skill. So it makes your power play very formidable. Ethan Bear, who's a real good defenseman, can really shoot the puck. A Saskatchewan kid, people would know. He's hurt right now, so if he plays in the series, it could change things. If he can't play, it's going to be a big loss for them. But they've got a real hard-working group. Steve Konowalczyk's done a real good job with that team, and they're getting a lot of mileage out of some, you know, some defensemen that are been in other programs, like Ottenbright. I think Strange is the other guy, and Hyman are all defensemen that have been in other teams that they've brought in and are playing real well for them. So it should be a real good series. And the one line that for them, the Enosaur and the Balkan line, they're smaller guys, but they play with a lot of spunk and a lot of energy. So it'll be fun for the fans because it's a team they don't really have a lot of knowledge about.
Well, and they got a 16-year-old goalie in Carl Stankowski. I mean, what a story.
Yes.
Yeah, what a story he's been. Is there any way, do you think, that the Pats could get to him and rattle him?
Yeah, I guess so. But he's been cool as the cucumber. I've been really impressed with him, and so have other people. And just how he only played, he only played in 8 games or something. He only started in 4. He had an injury during the year. So he didn't have a real big sample size to go on or a lot of experience going in the playoffs. And what he's done is quite remarkable. And, he just hangs in there and makes the saves when they need him. And I think Kelowna got to him the one game, but then the next game he's right back to being solid and steady. And he's not a big kid, but very positionally sound and obviously mentally strong and well and very focused.
And a three-part question for you. What do you think of the Pats? What do you think home ice means? And what do you think of the 2-3-2 format, which isn't new, of course, but your thoughts on all those factors?
Well, the first, the Pats, I just really look at the push they could put on. They seem, they're not going to be able to play at that high level all the time, but it seems when they really need it in certain situations, whether it be a game or within a game, when they really need to push and go to that next level to find a way to score and win the game, they definitely have that, and they got a different level can really score and really play at a high pace. And they're determined. Like they're determined. They've faced some obstacles in the playoffs here, and they faced some resistance, and they've pushed through. So I think they're battle tested, and I think they're ready to go. I think the 2-3-2 format is it's not favorable one way or the other. I think that the Pats for the Pats. Not going to matter because they played so well on the road this year. And you look at when they needed to win games in the Swiss series and the Lethbridge series, they were able to win on the road. So I don't think that's an issue. And what was the third one there?
No, that,
Scotty, what was the other?
Well, you covered it. Home ice, opening at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You can open at home. I think they've played well at home. I think they just have to play their game. The big thing in those series like that, when you don't have a real, they play Swift and all the teams they've played in the playoffs, they know real well. The thing about the way the Western League's set up, you don't play inter-conference play very much. So, they'll rely on video and that to be prepared. But I think the biggest thing they have to do is just play their game and play it at a high level and then make adjustments as they go on. And be prepared for those adjustments. But I think that they just want to make sure they're not changing the way they've played. It's obviously good enough to get them first overall in the league and get them into the final and get home ice advantage. So that's what they want to make sure they do, just play their game.
And lastly, just to round up with what you're doing, what is assistant director of player development? Is that correct? With Vegas?
Not development. Player personnel.
Player personnel.
Not development. Development's a whole different... but personnel,
right?
Yeah, just drafting and finding players through free agency and stuff in college and junior.
So, how exciting is that? Yeah. How exciting is it to be part of building something?
Oh, it's been great. It's been really, really busy, but it's been a huge learning curve. But it's been fun. We got a real good group of people that they've hired. And so it's been fun because of that. And it's, like you said, it's building the team, and it's only going to get more exciting here as we proceed into the expansion draft and the amateur draft. Well, that's what I find exciting. It's just how we're building a team and just all the different pieces and puzzle to put together. And we've got a lot of smart people that are way smarter than I am figuring it out. And I'll just put my 2 cents in where I can.
Well, Bobby, good luck with it. This has been great, and we'll see you in the rink hopefully come Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to be there Friday, and it should be a good one. Thanks, Roddy.
Bobby Lowe's of the Vegas Golden Knights. Hey, we're late for a break. We'll update the scoreboard. Talk more on this Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales after this timeout on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. It's the home quarter of the Sports Cage, brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales. We were going to get Noah Pickton in here from this weekend's U of R Rams mini camp, spring camp, but we've run out of time. We can do that later in the week. We bring on our lovely and talented Ryan Mishorek.
Lovely, eh?
Updating the scoreboard. Caps up 1-0 over the Penguins after one. Raps losing in Cleveland, 64-51 third quarter. And the Blue Jays top 5 at Yankee Stadium now, leading New York 2-1.
Woo!
So I just saw, when I saw the first look at the Niskanen hit, the cross check on Sidney Crosby, I said, 2-minute minor, that's it. Then I saw the reverse angle.
Mm-hmm.
He almost took his head off.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen how video review has really changed sports. So you're, it was dirty.
And like I was mentioning to you too, that actually Riley, who's sitting in beside me, he pointed out that his left knee, the way he kind of landed it, it kind of folded up underneath him. So that might be something that might be causing him not to make a return. I guess we'll see in the second period if he's on the ice or not, but that could be a concern.
But it wasn't Niskanen's fault that he twisted his knee.
No, absolutely not. It's the cross check to the face, but it's also the way that Crosby landed. It's a play that you don't want to be involved in, and unfortunately for Crosby, that might be it.
I don't think, like, aside from the games, Sidney Crosby's probably got a really good life.
Oh, I'm sure
but
he does.
But I think when he's out playing, it's not a lot of fun to be Sidney Crosby on any night.
He's brought it upon himself throughout the years. I mean, he's a great hockey player, don't get me wrong, but just the way he handled himself when he first came in and the way, he still kind of plays. He's one of the greatest in the hockey league, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of people who just don't like number 87 for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Haters, jealous.
Haters gonna hate.
Envy, that's what, it's haters.
Yeah.
He's got his 2 Stanley Cups, he's got his 2 gold medals. He's all that.
And it's easy for you and I to hate on him, but it's like he's out there playing the game. We're talking about him.
No, I don't hate him, though. I love me some Sidney Crosby.
I didn't necessarily mean you. I meant like in general.
Yeah.
Myself, others, they love to hate on people, and it's just like look at it in the real world. It's he's doing it, not you, so give it up.
Right. But are you old enough to remember Gretzky? This is why I say it's not much fun to be Sidney Crosby. Because he's getting hacked and whacked and cross-checked in the face every night.
Yep.
Gretzky, you couldn't touch him. You couldn't touch him.
Man was unbelievable.
No. You physically weren't allowed to touch Wayne Gretzky. Because if you did, Dave Semenko would kick the crap out of you. And there was a guy, maybe our longtime listeners can remember his name. He hit Gretzky coming over the middle. Remember the iconic video of Scott Stevens hitting Lindros? It was the beginning of the end for Lindros. Gretzky got a hit like that, and it was some guy that played for the Jets. You could find it on YouTube probably. The guy that hit Gretzky never played another game in the NHL. Ever. That was it. You weren't allowed to touch Wayne Gretzky. So he got a pretty easy ride for the most part on his way to scoring 215 points in one season and all his Stanley. Sid doesn't get an easy ride.
No, he does not.
That's all that I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So now the sad thing about coming back to Canada is now I'll be inundated with this cross-check to the face of Crosby. How many times do you think that'll air? SportsCenter, Sportsnet Connected, God knows what else. That's hockey.
That'll be their main clip that they'll roll going into each segment. Guaranteed the beginning of every show. Should there be some disciplinary actions mean.
I've already
seen it 12
times, and it just happened.
Oh, it's all over Twitter and Facebook already.
I know, but that's the thing. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but when you spend 8 days in America, and ESPN just slashed all of their hockey staff except Barry Melrose, you're getting LeBron highlights like that, but you're not getting any NHL coverage. And do you listen to any of the NHL satellite radio?
I don't.
Yeah, I do. And they all say, it's the exact opposite, because these are Americans that are saying, oh, up in Canada, they're saying this. Up in Canada, they're saying that. If you're saying anything in Canada about hockey, it legitimizes it in the States. Whereas for football up here, if they're saying it in the States, oh, it must be important. Right? So, anyways, it's been a good show.
It's been a blast.
How soon before you'll have the podcast up?
Give me 15 minutes.
You recall me texting you in a panic from Florida last week.
I don't know what that was all about.
You didn't even write me back.
Well, it's because you said, never mind, found it.
Oh.
I was doing other things, Rod. I have a life. I don't just walk around with my phone glued to my hand.
I'm sure you had a free hand.
I was cooking supper.
Brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse we are, the podcast. Let me tell you something about the Canadian Brewhouse.
It's fantastic.
$4.99 steins on all draft beers every Monday to Friday from 11 a.m. to 7. $5.99 Caesars every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4. We gone?
See ya.
Tomorrow.
Bye-bye.